Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the Studio Gym, where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We've got a good show planned for you today. The first hour, we're going to have best-selling author Pam Colleen on, talking about, is sugar really toxic? She recently did an interview along with Gary Taubes discussing this subject. We're going to delve a little bit deeper, and we're going to look at kids, too, how the current diet paradigm may be affecting them. Later in the show, we're going to have Dr. Matt Andre on. We're going to be talking about something that is near and dear to my heart, the suprachiasmatic nuclei, an area of the brain that I have done a lot of research into. And there is some new breakthrough information that shows that manipulating it can actually perhaps reverse type 2 diabetes. Before we get started, I have to mention that Orbit Nutrition is blowing out the genomics product line. This includes Slinsane, which is an insulin mimetic that is designed to help you repartition your nutrients so that more muscle, less fat is stored after a workout. From the foods that you eat. Also, Protocol, which is a pre- and intra-workout supplement to help you push through those workouts harder and get more effort produced. And then lastly, Heat, which is a fat burner, all made by Genomics. Check out Genomics' product line over at orbitnutrition.com. Let them know Carl sent you. Okay. Pam Colleen has been on the show before, and she is a fan favorite. Welcome back to the show, Pam.
Oh, thanks so much for having me back on.
Yeah, I mean, you know what's really funny? I just emailed Gary Taubes day before yesterday. Over the course of 2 days, I did 4 hours of shows and four guests, and of four guests, three of them invoked his name in a positive way for mm-hmm. one reason or another. We spoke I'm going to forget her name now, Marion Nessel, who wrote the book Food Politics and Pet Food Politics. Big, mm-hmm. She's a big fan of Gary's. And then naturally a couple other guests that I had on, Dr. Andro from Germany. Gary keeps coming up. He was ridiculed, and even to the point where people tried to make fun of him, like Dr. Oz. But now all of a sudden, he's posted his blood lipid workup on the internet now for all to see based on the way he's been eating. He's out there, and all of a sudden, there seems to be a little turnaround in people's appeal for his message. And lo and behold, right at that moment, he comes out with perhaps the most devastating blow of all. He says, just when you start to like me, I'm going to give you a reason to hate me. Sugar is toxic. Right?
Yes. I mean, can you imagine industry out there today? They're fuming over that article, I'm sure. And I did an interview with him the morning after the day that that article came out, and we had to ask him on air, you know, are you going to have any repercussions from industry, you know, with regards to this article? And he sort of said, well, I hope I don't have any regrets over anything I said in that article, you know. But the title is indeed, Is Sugar Toxic? So he's actually, you know, he's being a little bit cautious by asking a question rather than saying sugar is toxic. He puts it in the form of a question. And, you know, he's referring to Dr. Robert Lustig's work, and he did a lot of research on high fructose corn syrup and childhood obesity, fatty liver disease, all these sorts of things. And that was a video, Carl, that came out in 2009 called Sugar, the Bitter Truth. And that video has had well over a million hits. And here's a man who has, you know, delved deeply into this sugar issue and refers to sugar as being evil, you know, and all sorts of other very negative, terms. And so really, you know, Gary played it pretty safe by, you know, launching this article based on the work of a researcher, a scientist. And because, as you know, Gary is a journalist. He's a science writer, but he's not really a researcher himself. So he is helping Dr. Lustig get out the message on how toxic sugar is. And the common sense, the bottom line message is that over the last 50, 60 years, as we have been increasing our consumption of sugar and reducing our consumption of animal fats, you know, we're sicker, fatter, and more depressed than ever before.
Right.
So how on earth is it that animal fats are the bad guy here? They're not. It's indeed the sugar, and in particular with the message in this article, is that it's the high fructose corn syrup that has really, really done so much damage to us, as we've seen increased rates of diabetes, obesity, and so on.
And the reality, I hate to say this, because I like a piece of fruit. I mean, I devoured a good quarter of a papaya the other day and felt guilty the whole time I was eating it, by the way, because I know that fructose in general isn't really good for us. And high fructose corn syrup is even worse because it is a mutant form of fructose. Depending on who you talk to, they'll tell you that the fructose is unbound. There are other agents in it because of the process in liberating the fructose from the cornstarch. But the bottom line is the bottom line. And the bottom line is that high fructose corn syrup and fructose itself must become a long-chain triglyceride before they can then be converted back to a usable form of glucose. So anytime you eat fructose, regardless of where it comes from, it must become fat first. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, it's very hard on the liver, and this is what they're basically blaming on the incidence of fatty liver disease that we're seeing in children today. I mean, in some cases, I've seen some numbers close to 20% of our children could have fatty liver disease, and this is the precursor to cirrhosis of the liver or liver failure. So these are all big red flags, and Dr. Lustig is saying, you know, we need to start blaming high fructose corn syrup or the overconsumption of fruit in general, especially the fruit juices, because they're so concentrated in fructose, that we need to, you know, reduce our consumption of these foods. Now, you mentioned one thing that's very important is that, you know, fruit also is very high in fructose, of course. And I have no problem with people eating some fruit in their diet. You know, they're good foods. They're delicious and they're full of antioxidants. But it's still not a food you want to overeat because right. You just do not want to take in too much fructose.
Fruit should be treated like any other dessert, okay? Take it in small quantities on occasion to punctuate maybe a meal so that the gastric emptying is challenged by the meal that you just had. The sugar just doesn't hit you so hard. That's my personal opinion. I could be really wrong about that, but that's just my opinion.
Well, look at the French diet. You know, for dessert, what did they eat historically? I mean, we know that the French diet is high in animal fats and they have a lower incidence of heart disease. But let's talk about, you know, what they would eat for dessert. And very commonly, of course, they eat yogurt, high-fat yogurt, and fruit. I mean, that's a healthy, delicious dessert.
Right, right. There's nothing wrong with that. So to come full circle here, the culprit really is sugar when you think about it. And there's so many metabolic reasons that sugar is not a good thing for our body. We know that our genome evolved under conditions of carbohydrate scarcity.
Mm-hmm.
We know that because that's why the body can produce glucose from ketones and from amino acids, because those were the things that were readily available. And due to weather conditions and terrain, you know, carbohydrates just weren't around. And it was our natural propensity to eat animals. We know this already.
So, well, our brains wouldn't have developed if we hadn't eaten enough animal food. It's just that simple. And
Leslie Aiello from the Werner Gren Foundation wrote an article 5 years ago that keeps coming back around on the internet saying that the human brain increased, I think, 5 times in size when humans stopped foraging and started hunting.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And our brains have actually decreased in size over the last 100 years because we have been reducing our consumption of animal foods in our diet. And, of course, by reducing our consumption of animal foods, that means we've been displacing those nutrient-dense foods and replacing them with nutrient-deficient foods and carbohydrates in general. But even worse, of course, is these concentrated sugars that are doing us so much damage and dysregulating our biochemistry by throwing off our blood sugar levels in turn, of course, causing all sorts of stress on our adrenal glands and so on. I mean, I have a reference, and I don't know if you've ever interviewed Robert Whitaker, who's been analyzing this increased rates of mental disorders in society over the last 100, 200 years. And in his book, he talks about autopsies that were being done in the 1920s on people who, had hypoglycemia or blood sugar problems. And in these people, in their brains, they could actually see that they had the brain
lesion.
Damage.
Yeah, the lesions. I did read about that. And what's really interesting? If the body was compared to a car, and glucose or sugar was compared to acceleration and deceleration. The rise in glucose was an accelerator, and the drop in glucose was a decelerator. Then consuming high amounts of sugar would be tantamount to pressing the accelerator to the floor and removing the brakes from the car. And just because that's how the body can control when sugar gets too low, but it can't control when sugar gets too high. This is why people become insulin resistant. When the sugar gets too low, the body kicks into gear, the liver, the adrenals, they all start doing their job and they say, hey, we need to start converting things to glucose because the brain is in trouble. But when sugar gets too high, the body goes, holy mackerel, what do we do? Let's just squirt some insulin out and see what we could do with it. We'll turn it into fat. So the body is ill-equipped.
Right, we haven't evolved. You're absolutely right, Carl. I mean, we have not evolved to eat lots and lots of carbohydrates in our diet. If we had evolved eating lots and lots of carbohydrates, we would have had a backup system, and we do not have a backup system in our bodies.
Bingo.
Commonsensical. I wish I had known this when I was a vegetarian, because, of course, you know, vegetarians walk around not knowing that they have prediabetes. They're not tested for it. They don't know it. And even if they are tested for it, the testing is actually rather inadequate.
Well, I do have to say this, one caveat. There are intelligent vegans out there who are lacto-vegans or ovo-vegans, or they are getting a full array of amino acids by being very conscious of the types of proteins that they... I know a fellow named Mike Mahler who uses a variety of different protein powders from nut and plant sources to make sure that he gets all of his amino acids, and he supplements with the vitamins and minerals that he knows he's probably missing from eating animal protein. But that is a real arduous task just to not eat animals for
the bottom line that I have when I work with people is that if people, it's a lot easier to be healthy if you eat red meat than if you don't. And the vegetarians I meet, unfortunately, they come to me and they're so sick. And I'm talking about even lacto-ovo vegetarians, or just, and more importantly, of course, the more dangerous diet is the vegan diet, which is what I followed for 9 years. And what happens in a vegetarian diet where they're not eating red meat is they can become copper toxic very, very easily. And, you know, because plant-based foods are high in copper, low in zinc, and animal foods are high in zinc, low in copper. And so when people eat too many plant-based foods, it's very, very easy to become copper toxic. And we're not eating oysters today, which are one of the top sources of zinc.
Yeah.
The second best source, of course, is going to be red meat. And so because we're not eating enough red meat in our diets, it's very, very easy to become copper toxic. And that's one of the main problems I see when I work with people. And I've got to reverse that problem if I expect to get anybody out of chronic fatigue or depression, anxiety, and so on.
Yeah. Let's take our first commercial break. When we come back, I want to start discussing just how sugar could be toxic. And I want to talk about a man who talked about this back in the 30s, and he shouldn't have been ignored because he was a man of high knowledge and respect. He actually was one of the founders of the American Heart Association, but they ignored him. We're talking today with Pam Killeen, best-selling author. Her current book, Addiction, The Hidden Epidemic, is a worthwhile read for anybody. It is so much more than just about addiction. It's about nutrition, the core of nutrition. Check it out. Go to Amazon.com and look for Addiction, The Hidden Epidemic. We'll be right back.
If you want to be
superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today. The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels, but most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MaHLer.com. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com. Muscle building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines 3 of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, Superdrol, and Decadrol. The combination of these 3 agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long, because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to IronMagLabs.com today and get your bottle of pre-workout products. Crank you up, then leave you flat and fatigued. Except now, you're strung out from being overstimulated, hungry because it destroyed your appetite, and in a catabolic state because you can't eat for recovery and growth. That's why you need to get Lit Up from Applied Nutraceuticals. Lit Up is an original blend, not a copycat formula here. Lit Up delivers the perfect amount of energy, focus, pump, and intensity without feeling strung out or a loss of appetite for hours after your workout. Plus, Lit Up creates an anabolic environment by jacking testosterone levels through the roof. Get Lit Up today at appnut.com. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol, with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long, because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking today with Pam Killeen, author of Addiction, The Hidden Epidemic. You know, Pam, I first learned about this man in Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors, Randy Roach's book, and then I started digging around even more. Dr. Paul Dudley White, do you know who he is?
I remember from years ago reading it, but it's not fresh on my memory, so go ahead. I want to learn more.
Dr. Paul Dudley White was the man who brought the EKG machine to the United States, and he was also the key founder of the American Heart Association. He also had the notoriety of being, I believe, President Roosevelt's personal physician. And in the 1930s, he started to decry 2 things. The first was the introduction of Crisco and the reliance on corn oil and the moving away from animal fats shortenings, because he felt that hydrogenated oil was dangerous. Crisco was the first hydrogenated oil. I think it was introduced in 1909. And the second thing he decried was the continual increase in consumption of sugar, refined sugars, by the American public. Now, the reason he decried these 2 things was because the same reason that he founded the American Heart Association. He said that in all his time in school, in residency, in private practice, he had only encountered 1 myocardial infarction. But by the time the 1930s were rolling around, the rate of heart attack was increasing so dramatically that it was kind of like the canary in the mine. What's going on here? You know? And he and life was simpler back then. There weren't a lot of variables. It was very easy to see what was introduced into the food chain, the reliance in corn oil, the introduction of hydrogenated oils, and the overabundance of sweets being eaten by the American public. And he said, go back to animal fats, go back to raw tallows and so on and so on. Abandon this new hydrogen, this new form of foreshortening, Crisco. Go back to lard and abandon corn oil and reduce the consumption of sugar in order to put the risk of myocardial infarction in check. And guess what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Industry swept his words under the carpet because it wasn't good for profits and no one paid attention to him. And just now in this decade, we've discovered, well, we shouldn't eat trans fats. Hydrogenated oils are bad for us. He talked about this in the 30s. Imagine all of the lives that could have been saved if someone would have paid attention to this man.
Well, yeah, but marketing-based science, you know, is powerful, and they customize the results according to their needs. And, you know, this has been another tsunami of, you know, bad science, you know, no integrity in science, that this is universal today. And so, you know, you have a fellow like you're saying, Dudley White, and then, you know, one of his followers would have been Dr. Mary Enig in the 70s, who was also warning people about the damaging effects of these plant-based oils and fats. And she, too, was ostracized by the scientific community because she was going against the grain. And, you know, and she was right, obviously. Now, today, you know, Dr. Enig is still alive, and she still gets to, you know, warn people about these newfangled fats and oils, and actually tell people we need to return to, like you said, Carl, tallow, lard, and butter.
Raw, I just picked up 3 gallons of raw milk this morning, 2 quarts of raw cream, 2 pounds of raw butter, 2 quarts of raw milk yogurt. I mean, this is what I stay lean as heck, and I eat a lot of fat, a lot of coconut oils. It's just baffling. Okay, so we're getting off the real subject here. So the subject, but this is actually extrinsically involved in the discussion later on. The real subject here is, why are we willing to destroy ourselves in the never-ending pursuit for sweeter and sweeter things? Is it genetic?
No, well, we do have a sweet tooth, of course, and, you know, I think we do need to honor that sweet tooth by having something sweet, from time to time. I don't think that the sweet taste or our desire for sweet foods is the problem, in as much as that the foods that we're being bombarded with are, highly sweet. They're very concentrated, and they're in turn very, very addictive. And on top of that, because it acts in the brain as a drug, and because we are brain starved, so many people need sugar to give them a drug-like effect in order to get through the day. And when we interviewed Gary Taubes last week after his article came out in the New York Times, you know, we were kind of joking about the fact that, you know, why is it that we have to do research? Why are millions of dollars being spent to research whether or not sugar is addictive? We know that sugar is addictive. Everyone listening to this show knows that sugar is addictive. And so it acts as on the brain as a drug. It has mood-altering abilities, and because so many people today are depressed, are fatigued, are anxious, have sleep problems, all sorts of mood disorders today, you know, sugar is one of the first drugs people will grab for to help medicate themselves.
I was just going to say, it's nature's crack. It hits you hard, but it doesn't last long, so you got to go back for more.
Absolutely. And, you know, Dr. David Kessler, he wrote the book, The End of Overeating, and he was the former head of the FDA. And in his book, he's basically saying the food industry knows that these foods that they're creating in the inner aisles of a grocery store are addictive. They're intentionally made to be addictive. And then on top of that, you have the synthetic flavorings like MSG and aspartame that are equally destructive and equally addictive.
Right, because they convert to things in the brain, chemicals in the brain. Aspartame increases glutamate. Glutamate is an excitatory neuron, a neuron expression. So you're feeding the brain these things that the brain starts to crave after a while.
Mm-hmm. And you know, one of the side effects, of course, is brain tumors, because you're overstimulating the brain, and so you're making it vulnerable to developing things like brain tumors.
Right. I want to ask you to summarize the logic behind the toxicity of sugar, is it? I mean, I believe it is toxic. I actually have talked about diseases like Parkinson's disease being linked to glucose metabolism in the brain. But what exactly did Gary say is toxic about sugar? What is it doing to the body that would classify it as a toxin?
Yeah, and this is Dr. Lustig's work, and it gets into some biochemistry that's, you know, above what I can discuss, but essentially it has to do with the fact that it has to be metabolized in the liver and has a huge, and the liver pays a huge price for having to metabolize this, what they call a toxin, you know, and so essentially, in a nutshell, that's how I can describe it. Doc, if you ever, I would think, you know, it would be good to have Dr. Lustig on your show so he can actually get into more on that biochemistry answer.
Okay. All right. So we'll reserve that for him. I will definitely.
Yeah, I think he'd be great on your show.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. but anyway, okay. So let's get back to something else that's equally confounding. And we cannot talk about sugar without talking about fat because the American diet paradigm has been one to say avoid fat, but embrace carbohydrates. And the carbohydrates they tell us to embrace are cereals, grains, corns, and things that we know are just an arm's length away from just pure unadulterated sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it? Is it purely motivated by industry and commerce, or is there something else afoot with animal fat right now?
Oh, you're opening up a can of worms. You know, essentially, Gary, Gary's genius is that he exposed the animal fat story and said, you know, we shouldn't have been demonizing animal fat and cholesterol all of these years. It's really been sugar that's been the culprit. And it was a really brilliant segue for him to write that article in the New York Times. But in his book, Good Calories, Bad Calories, what he talks about very briefly is that in the early 1900s, when the population exploded in the United States, he said that, you know, they didn't have enough beef to feed everybody. There was a shortage of beef. And so what I try and warn people about is, since we have this overcrowding going on in our cities, where millions and millions of people are artificially being clustered together, the most logical way to feed all these people is by producing more plant-based foods and displacing the more nutrient-dense animal foods, because animal foods are a nuisance to produce. They
right.
cost more, they're less profitable, you know, you have to refrigerate them, you have to, you know, there's a lot more work involved with producing animal foods, and to feed millions of people in small geographic areas, it just, you know, has become more logical to try and stuff us with more nutrient-deficient plant-based foods. Essentially, Carl, in a nutshell, that's essentially what it is. It's economics. And
yeah, and that's what it always has been. There has constantly been an effort to find ways to feed the masses cheaper. And mm-hmm. that really is what it comes down to. It comes down to just we're almost like cattle now. If they could feed us kibble, they would. If they could just grind up pellets and everybody would go, you know, I don't need variety. Just give me some kibble 5 times a day like an animal eats and I'm happy. Then that is what industry would feed us.
Well, and this is essentially what was foreshadowed in the movie Soylent Green.
Soylent Green,
early
I was going to say.
1970s.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
You know, I'm not suggesting we're eating human body parts here, but in the movie they had Soylent Green, which was the newest and latest food bar. And before that, they had other food bars that were like Soylent Yellow, Soylent Blue, or whatever. And basically they were feeding people soy and lentils. So you foreshadow this idea that, you know, let's just fill their bellies with plant-based foods because they're cheap and profitable, and we'll just keep them happy because their bellies are full, their brains are going to be starving, their sexual organs are going to be, you know, suffering for it. But who cares? They're going to function like robots.
Well, and we have to take a break, but I have to say something. In the animal kingdom, when there is scarcity of food, the animals start to automatically depopulate. They reproduce fewer offspring. They reproduce fewer times a year, and they die earlier of malnutrition. So it's almost like a self-regulating situation. Now look at humans. You know, we have the ability to eat anything. We'll grind it up and find a way to process it and eat it. So in reality, nature is kind of doing the same thing, but a different way. Instead of scarcity, we are eating foods that we are not predisposed to eat, and we're dying sooner. So
that's
maybe,
right. And even the researchers are saying, Carl, that, you know, this generation of children is probably not going to live as long as their parents. And to me, this is, you know, a huge red flag that we have to look at, you know, what's happening to our children and the school food issue. And we need to talk about, you know, Jamie Oliver and what he's doing in L.A. right now and the show that's on ABC, because, you know, really the school situation is an area
that's
where
it starts. It starts
education
there. Let's
can
do this.
Happen.
Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk about Jamie Oliver. We're talking today with Pam Killeen, author of Addiction, The Hidden Epidemic. You can get your copy at Amazon.com. We'll be right back.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRadio. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter Urethane Series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Jumping higher, left and more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay, so we're going to talk about Jamie Oliver now. Jamie Oliver is a one of these reality TV cook hosts, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did a show last spring, and it was filmed in the southern states there. I think it was West Virginia, and he went into a town and tried to revamp the school food. in a couple of the different schools there, and he had a downtown kitchen, and he was teaching people about how to, you know, make food from scratch and so on. And he really, you know, had a lot of trouble penetrating, you know, the school boards down there to get them the motivation and the initiative to, you know, make healthier food for their kids. And in the end, after that experiment was done, of course, I really don't think he made a lot of headway down there in the end, you know, during the show itself, towards the end of the series, it looked like he was making some headway, but I heard some stories after the fact that really the schools kind of, you know, threw up their arms and caved and didn't pursue the Healthy School Lunch Initiative. And so now his new experiment is going on in Los Angeles. And again, Carl, he is just having, you know, just a ton of problems trying to get them to convert to healthy school lunches for the kids.
But what does he consider healthy school? This is what I always see as the big problem. You know, we use this word ubiquitously, healthy. I have friends who I have conversations with. They go, well, I eat healthy. I don't understand why my blood sugar is 110 in the morning. I eat healthy. You know, saying you eat healthy is like saying you drive a car, but what kind of car do you drive? How fast do you drive? In what directions do you drive? There's a lot of variables involved.
Right. And what people perceive to be healthy today is really not healthy. In fact, one of my classes that I teach, it's my like 4-week nutrition boot camp that I teach, and it's called What's Wrong with Politically Correct Nutrition? How Healthy Eating is Making Us Sick. And the bottom line in that message is that for many, many people, for millions of people out there, they're following a low-fat diet, and they think that that's healthy. And unfortunately, you know, where Jamie Oliver is really missing the target is he's promoting healthy food, local food, you know, made from scratch, all these wonderful principles, but he's also promoting low fat for children, and that is a recipe for disaster.
But don't you think the reason he's promoting low fat is because no one would give him an opportunity to be on the air if he didn't? Because that is, you know, when I spoke to a lovely person, Marion Nessel, about food politics. You know, she is a traditionally trained nutritionist. She has a traditional nutritional background. You know, when I talked to her about soy briefly, and I knew that I wasn't going to get far with her because she felt like, well, soy is okay. You know, you shouldn't eat too much. And I'm like, no, I think soy, I'm one of those people who think soy is poison, and I just left it at that. Mm-hmm. You know, the problem is, it's almost like you can't get your foot in the door anywhere today unless you are at least preaching most of what the traditional nutritionists believe today, which is completely
wrong.
Right.
I do think that Jamie just doesn't know that animal fats are crucial, and that, you know, you and I, Carl, our ancestors probably got 70% of their calories from animal fats, and so did Jamie's ancestors. But I really just don't think he knows that animal fat and cholesterol are the good guys. And, you know, he's British. I mean, just think about the British diet. You know, he just doesn't know. And I was in England a couple of years ago, and I've been trying to, you know, get in touch with Jamie Oliver so I could sit down and educate him and really teach him which foods are the most nutrient-dense foods, and therefore these are the foods that our children most deserve to have in their diets. And I found out from some contacts that I have in England that, you know, he's really owned and controlled by Sainsbury's, which is a national grocery store chain in England. And he's basically touting the message that they put out throughout their entire food industry stance in the UK, which is very, very similar to here in North America, of course, which is, you know, the low-fat message and the promotion of these very cheap and very profitable plant-based oils and fats.
It's really shocking to me that nobody has the ability to look back in history and ask the simple question, why, at a time when people were eating nothing but fat-laden foods, they were frying bacon and lard. I remember my Uncle George used to put a tablespoon of lard in a skillet, fry bacon in it, then take the bacon out, and then cook the eggs in the combination bacon fat and lard, and then he would pour it into a glass jar and let it solidify on the back of his stove, and he would reuse that fat over and over again. My grandmother had one of those jars. My mom had one of those jars. They saved the renderings and used them over and over again for other things. Why aren't people asking the question, why at a time when people were eating more animal fat and less grain, no soy at all, were they healthier than we are today?
Well, that's the bottom line. And you know, when we look before World War II, Carl, we ate a diet high in animal fats. We sat down and had 3 square meals every day. They were made from scratch. You know, we were healthier back then. And then after World War II is when we start to see this dramatic transition in our diets, where thousands of processed foods started to line our grocery store shelves, and that was because of the technologies that were developed to help create meals ready to eat for our soldiers out in the fields. And those were foods that were fine, you know, during combat for temporary periods of time. But the money that was spent to develop these technologies, you know, the companies that had these technologies wanted to keep making money on them. And so those technologies were then used to create these thousands and thousands of foods that we still see lining our grocery store shelves today. And these foods are doing us no good whatsoever for our health.
You know, I forgot about that. I just realized that when I was in probably fourth or fifth grade, I remember that the technology that was being used for the troops in the field to create K rations.
Yes.
Ended up feeding the TV dinner industry.
Mm-hmm.
The TV dinner was an evolution of K rations. And people
wanted dried foods, but the dried foods as well.
Right.
You know, and even orange juice, you know, instead of oranges for the soldiers, they were given orange juice. And you know, really the orange juice industry took off after World War II as well. And that's another food that, as we know, because it's high in fructose, is very hard on our bodies.
Jeez.
I talk about this in my book, actually, and I go into the history of how we got fooled into eating all these newfangled foods and the evolution in terms of our dietary history. And it's really been... I call it criminal what's going on, and then what we have is, you know, the government being complicit and permitting a lot of these things to still be on our shelves today and promoting them in things like the food guides. And what is, I think, even more criminal is that even though we have this knowledge where, you know, by reducing animal fats in our diet, we're sicker today, you know, clearly they're not the culprits, but yet we have the food guide saying, from the 2010 guidelines, saying we need to reduce our animal fats to 10% of our calories or even less, even as low as 7% of our calories should be coming from saturated fat, according to the dietary dictocrats. And what's that going to create, Carl? It's going to create more depression, more mood disorders, more addiction, more disease overall, and we're going to get fatter for it as well.
But you know what the good news is? If there's a thinning of a herd here, if you believe in Darwinian's downward pressure of evolutionary selection, and there is, then only the most intelligent of individuals will survive this next 50 years. And those individuals will ignore the mantra and the message, continue to eat the way they know they're supposed to eat. We will survive. We will survive. Yeah.
That's the right news is that humans have always survived even through tremendous adversity. So we know we're going to survive this, but it's going to be the strong and the people who actually question these experts that are giving us such bogus advice.
Yes, it's not going to be just strong physical strength. It's going to be strong of will, because there's a constant drum being beat telling you that you need to take statin drugs, you need to avoid animal fats, you need to eat more soy. You have to be strong and resist those. Your friends, your family members are going to say, hey, what are you, crazy? That's not healthy, eating all that steak, all that chicken, all those eggs. But you know better. Mm-hmm. And when they are too weak to get out of their chair, when they're 50 and 60 years old, and you are still robust and running wild, then they'll go, oh my God, he or she was right. We have to stay the course. Let's take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll pick it up with Pam Colleen.
Finally, a Bovine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bovine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM Bovine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit RLSSupplements.com today.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
Finally, a Bulbine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bulbine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM Bulbine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit RLSSupplements.com today.
CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
You know, when I came out of that last segment, I was really revved up and I was thinking, you know, the American people deserve to know the truth. We deserve to have the information to change the direction of this country of illness. It's not just the American people, I realize. It's not. We're going beyond those borders. I pledge allegiance to the audience of the Superhuman Radio listeners to always carry the truth about nutrition so that you can make the right decisions and live a long and healthy life. And if there's no other place where you can get reinforcement that you're doing the right thing by eating that steak, by eating that dozen eggs a day, by, you'll get it here. You'll get it here. Because all the other media outlets are telling you you're wrong. And they want us to think we're wrong. Maybe there's a purposeful thinning of the herd. We've heard stories about Henry Kissinger and lots of different people talking about it's time to start depopulating the earth. We have too many people. Maybe the goal is if you're stupid enough to eat that stuff and die off sooner, your kids will die sooner, then you're one of the people that doesn't belong here on this planet. Maybe that's the elitist attitude, but you want to know what? We're smarter and we're stronger than even them.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think if people are given the correct information, they will make the right choice. But right now, they're being so dangerously misinformed, number one, and number two, the foods that they are gravitating towards are really more like drugs in their body. They're medicating themselves with these foods, and so they keep eating them, Carl. They can't necessarily break away from that vicious cycle. And, you know, one of the key foods being, of course, is sugar. And so, you know, we've seen the destructive effects of sugar over the last, you know, 50, 60 or more years. And it's really hard when I'm talking to somebody and teaching them about this. If they're a sugar addict, they just look at me with a blank stare in their face, and they know that they're going to have trouble getting off that substance.
You know what's really funny, Pam? There's been a recent reveille going on in reference to the mummies that were exhumed in Egypt. They've recently done certain types of scans, CT scans on arteries that they could find intact. And they are now saying even the ancient Egyptians had plaque buildup in their arteries. And the reason that this is being publicized, in my humble opinion, is because the medical orthodoxy, the pharmaceutical agenda, the powers that be want people to think, you see, there's nothing you can do about it. It's been since the ancient times that this has been going on, and that is BS.
Absolutely, because, I mean, agriculture was invented 10,000 years ago, and it's a blip on the screen in terms of our dietary history.
But more importantly, do you realize that the toothbrush was invented by the Egyptians because they were the first group, a large group of people to suffer tooth decay? They wallowed in sugar. They slept very little. They used to stay up at night, debauchery and partying. The Egyptians are the canary in the coal mine for us. If you want to see a civilization disappear, do what the Egyptians did. Guess what? We're doing it. We're doing it. We're drowning in sugar. We sleep 3 hours a night. We do all the things that we know we're not supposed to do. The Egyptians did it too. Yes, they had plaque in their arteries, but it's not because they were eating Paleolithic style. We know that the Egyptians had terrible, terrible lifestyles, terrible standards.
Well, they had already started displacing the foods back then. I mean, if you archaeologists have done digs where they found that when we invented agriculture, we start to see the physical degeneration. So our lifespans decreased from 26 years to 19 years. We started to shrink. So we shrunk about 6 inches. And we start to see signs of anemia, osteoporosis, infectious diseases, tooth decay. All of these problems started at the invention of agriculture 10,000 years ago. And so that's when we started, you know, displacing the nutrient-dense foods and replacing them with nutrient-deficient foods.
Wow. This is so shocking. And you know what the worst part is? Everybody looks to research and science today, and no one looks back in time to go, wow, we can learn from our mistakes. We can learn from our past. No one cares about the past anymore. No one even wants to pay attention. No one's talking about this sort of stuff.
That's convenient for the food industry, because the less likely, you know, the less we know about our food history, the more that they can control us. And so, you know, when I'm talking to young children, I always say to them, you know, these foods are new. You know, historically, these foods never existed. And they look at you and, you know, their eyes are wide, and they really do believe that these foods have been around since the dawn of civilization, and they simply have not been. And when I teach classes, I say, everybody, let's go back in time to the 1800s, you know, where the majority of us would have been living on a mixed farm, producing our own raw milk, having pigs, chickens, cows. You know, we had the full circle of foods available to us at our fingertips, and we didn't have grocery stores. And so, you know, think about television series like Little House on the Prairie, Carl. I mean, look at the grocery stores that are you know, displayed in these shows. Like, you had hardly any food being sold in the grocery stores back then. And everything really, really changed, you know, after the population started exploding in the early 1900s, and then even more so after World War II. So all of these foods are new. They're not working for us. We're sicker, fatter, and more depressed than ever before in the history of mankind. Do you know, Carl, that we're 100 times more likely to be depressed today than we were 100 years ago? And just look at how that corresponds with the degradation in our diets.
Yeah.
This is not rocket science. I think anybody with any kind of common sense would see this. The other element to this that a lot of people don't know is that this depression epidemic that we have is happening in English-speaking countries. It's not really happening to the same extent on, say, you know, European mainland countries.
Is that because they're just not being marketed to?
I think they're still eating their traditional foods. They haven't been scared off animal fat and cholesterol like we have.
Yeah.
So this depression epidemic is happening in Canada, United States, throughout the United Kingdom. It's happening in Australia, New Zealand, but it's not happening in other countries.
Wow.
I mean, Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, and so it's actually beneficial to stay out of the connection, if you will. You know, it really is. It's like, you know, you look at the Hunza. They're kind of trapped in that little region of the world, but at the same time, they have some of the greatest longevity in the world because nothing can reach them. McDonald's will never go to their land there and build a restaurant. I mean, it just
well, you know, it's interesting. It's interesting you mentioned the Hunza because, you know, that's one of the stories that vegans are used. You know, that's used to bring in vegans and say, you know, the Hunzas are really, really long living and they're the longest living culture in the world. And you know, that may have been true in the early 1900s when Sir Robert McCarrison lived with them and observed their fantastic health as a mountainous culture. But what happened was around the 1930s and 40s, the government actually went in and destroyed their food system. They destroyed their land and forced them essentially into being vegan, more of a vegan style diet. And that's when their health was destroyed. And unfortunately, vegans actually believe that they were radiantly healthy because of a vegan diet. And it's
no, because
they were
huge lacto.
They would have had goats, and they would have survived and thrived very nicely on, you know, high fat dairy products and things like goat meat. So
right.
You know, they ate adequate amounts of animal foods to keep them very, very healthy.
Right, right. They were. Mm-hmm. I never thought that they were vegans. I mean, I knew that they depended on animal husbandry.
No. I realize that. It's just the story. The story that the vegans are told, and this is what I was told, is that the vegans, that the Hunzas were vegans and that they were really, really healthy. And as you dig into that, of course, you find out that that's not true.
Yeah.
That they did have adequate amounts of animal fats in their diet and were healthy because of that, but it was just the transition that what happened was their soil was all destroyed and eventually they had to get rid of their goats and basically rely on animal food or plant-based foods and then they became very sick, of course.
Yeah. All right, so Pam, the takeaway of today's message is you have to avoid sugar at all costs. You really, really do, because we get enough of it without even trying to. There's sugar
right.
in so many different things. So you really have to avoid sugar at all costs. And I guess people really need to re-educate their palates and find things that are sweet but healthy. Strawberries don't have a lot of fructose in them. I love strawberries. You can have strawberries with sour cream or with yogurt. I mean, I think that we need to start looking for wholesome desserts when we feel like we need something sweet as opposed to turning to, you know, sugar-laden cakes and cookies and so on and so forth.
Yeah, I mean, in the 1700s, we ate about 4 pounds of sugar per year. You know, and look at now we're eating about 150 pounds of sugar per year. So this is just not natural for us to live in this sugar-laden society. I'm not saying not to eat any sugar, and I know you're not saying that either. You know, just we need to avoid the processed sugars and really just focus on the sugars that are present naturally in fruits and vegetables, for example. You know, and you know, you and I think we agree on one thing. We don't eat a lot of grain in our diet.
No.
Yeah,
as a matter of fact, when you said before going against the grain, I thought that's going to be the title of my first book on nutrition.
It's already out there, though.
Oh, is there something called Going Against the Grain?
There's already a book called that out there.
Darn it.
But, you know, if we do eat grain, it should, of course, be soaked and fermented. So if you're eating bread, hopefully it's, you know, sourdough bread and not a lot of it.
Yeah. No, you're right. Starches, you just have to stay away from the grains. Everything at the bottom of the pyramid, you got to stay away from. Turn the pyramid upside down. Take the government's pyramid, turn it upside down, and cut the top off. So all you're
Absolutely.
Eating is animal proteins and vegetables and animal fats. And by all means, try to get healthy animals to eat because I do believe there is a difference in the fat. We can argue about ratios of omega-3 to omega-6, but it doesn't take a research scientist to tell me that it's better to eat an animal that's lived a natural life. I know that innately in my cells. I know that.
Yeah, we have to revive the rural, you know, communities. We have to start shopping more at farmers and do your due diligence and inspect the farms and make sure the animals are outside on pasture. And yes, indeed. I mean, you're going to be doing yourself a huge favor by doing that, but you're going to do the economy a huge favor as well.
Okay. Pam Colleen, thank you so much for coming on Superhuman Radio today.
Thanks so much, Carl.
Okay, and everybody, you can get Pam's book, Addiction, The Hidden Epidemic, at Amazon.com. I promise you, if you buy this book, you will thank me. Stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to have Dr. Matt Andrea on. We're going to be talking about the suprachiasmatic nuclei, a favorite of mine. We'll be right back.
most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein and the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Finally, a Bovine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bovine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM Bovine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit RLSSupplements.com today.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexFin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest this hour is Dr. Matt Andry. He's been on the show before. We've talked about raw milk. Today we're going to be talking about something else that's very, very near and dear to my heart, and that is the suprachiasmatic nuclei. This is a small bundle of nerves about the height of the bridge of the nose, deep in the center of the brain. And if all the systems in the brain are designed to pay attention to and operate the body, the suprachiasmatic nuclei is probably the closest thing we have to the sentinel that pays attention to nature and gets information from nature and then adjusts the body accordingly. And you've heard me say numerous times that we think that we are smarter than nature, but we are not. Well, this is the part of us that pays attention to nature. How you doing, Dr. Andry?
I am great, Carl. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, this is an exciting piece of information, and it's resurged. You are wanting to do this show today because the suprachiasmatic nuclei has kind of reemerged in science as a possible fix, if you will, for type 2 diabetes and metabolic syndrome, hasn't it?
That's right, probably a great way to say it is that sort of the medical machine is finally catching up a little bit to what a lot of people in science have understood a long time, and frankly, to what a lot of old people who didn't even know what the brain looked like, but ancient wisdom knew a long time ago.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, this sort of arose from a medication that got approval late last year for the treatment of diabetes called Cyclocet. Now, Cyclocet is a renaming or a rebranding of a medicine that you will have known very well, and that's bromocriptine, which we've used in people to reduce prolactin.
Right.
For example, if they're on medications that cause men to lactate, or women that after they wean continue to have that and it causes problems, or people that have, say, a tumor in their, near their pituitary and they release too much in this, then this will slow it down.
And just for the audience out there, bromocriptine was the drug of choice for bodybuilders who used large doses of progestins like trenbolone and anthate, or even in some cases, decadurobolan, which would increase prolactin production in some individuals.
Yes.
And bromocriptine was used to ward off, hyperprolactin effects because prolactin also can increase breast tissue size just the way estrogen can. So a lot of guys would get, I like to call them chesticles,
yes.
but they would get gynecomastia from using high doses of traditionally non-aromatizing androgens, and they'd say, gee, what the heck's going on here? Why am I growing breast tissue? I'm taking trenbolone and anthate, and then lo and behold, the link to prolactin became. So bromocriptine has been a very popular drug around the bodybuilding community for decades.
Yes, and there have probably been some benefits. Well, of course there would be, but we've identified some benefits that are probably were helpful for them that we previously didn't know. How these guys found that this might be helpful in diabetes was interesting. Kind of goes back to nature, which I love the way you said that about the suprachiasmatic nucleus kind of being our link to nature. In essence, that's very right, and part of the reason it is it has a lot of photoreceptor cells in it that directly attach to your retina, which puts you in sync with the sun.
Right.
And many of our hormonal mechanisms are driven partly by this, what should be a pendulum effect in our system, where we oscillate from one side to the other. And if you lose that oscillation, there are certain problems that just develop in your endocrine system that you can't otherwise control.
Right.
And so what we have to do as a, you know, a healer or a therapist or a doc is you walk in and you try to shove the swing in one direction real hard and get that oscillation back. And again, people were studying migrating birds. This is where this gets kind of fun. And wanted to know, how in the heck does a Canadian goose hop in the air, fly steady for thousands of miles, land on a pond somewhere in Mexico, and eat like crazy and not change its weight 1 ounce?
Right.
So they looked and through their research and kind of really small labeled studies, looking at nerve bundles, found this area that works almost just like a thermostat. And so is this potentially a weight medicine? I think we can talk about that too. But where they really found it made a significant change very quickly was in how your body responds to insulin. Insulin sensitivity would change dramatically based on output from these nerve tracts. So they theorized they could potentially use this, and because all mammalian brains have this, in people. And lo and behold, here they're using a brain medication, an old weightlifter's medicine, and we're getting similar and better results oftentimes with this and full-blown diabetes than we are with some of the very new drugs that we've just recently developed.
Now, the interesting thing about the and let's just call it the SCN because it is a tongue twister. The interesting thing about the SCN was that many, many years ago, it was discovered that graveyard workers, night shift workers, had developed insulin resistance in as little as 2 months of working 5 days a week, staying up all night long. And what they discovered was that it was the suprachiasmatic nuclei, the SCN, and its relationship to circadian rhythm that actually precipitates insulin resistance. And when they started to dig more into the SCN and its functions, they found out that the SCN not only orchestrates the hormonal milieu that occurs at night while we sleep, but also fine-tunes the receptors so that the hormones can interplay with receptors and carry the message that they're supposed to carry. And interestingly enough,
You can reset this whole process by paying attention to daylight, sundown and sunrise, and actually coordinating your sleep with sundown.
Yes.
And it takes anywhere from 2 weeks to 6 months to reestablish circadian rhythm, depending on how disrupted you are, but it can be done. And interestingly enough, over that same period of time, insulin resistance goes away.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we are very dependent on this spot. In fact, there are many studies that talk about how you can knock out this area, just physically remove it, ablate it with radiation or laser, and people become animals become instantly diabetic.
Right.
And that tells us how closely tied how we treat our time ends up as important as we treat our food and our exercise and our stress levels.
Yes.
And the sad part about this in a lot of ways is we just have a lot of functions that run our society that depend on night shift workers. And I don't care if you do it for 30 years. Your SCN is never going to get used to you not being up when the sun is and down when the sun
isn't. We're seeing this in real time right now with the air traffic controllers. The air traffic controllers are complaining. Part of the complaints is, you know what, I can sleep all day long, but when I have to sit there in front of that screen all night, I get sleepy. I don't function well. you know, someone once told me, if you go out and drink, and I've never tried this, if you go out and drink and drive but get home by 10 o'clock, there are fewer car accidents, but what happens after 10 o'clock, and it's not just precipitated by the alcohol, it's precipitated by the body's desire to shut down in concert with alcohol, and that is why the large majority of DUI accidents occur after 10 p.m. in the evening. Now, I found that very, very interesting when you think about the body's desire to sleep. And you are right on the money, Dr. Andre. We've become a society that places more value in being gainfully employed than being healthy.
Yeah.
It's really a sad, sad state. We have to take a quick commercial break. I want to come back. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about a society that places so little value in its citizens that it thinks that working around the clock is a good thing. We're talking today with Dr. Matt Andrew. We're talking about the suprachiasmatic nuclei. It could be the linkage to your goals once you get it under control. We'll be right back. Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net. Pre-workout products crank you up, then leave you flat and fatigued. Except now, you're strung out from being overstimulated, hungry because it destroyed your appetite, and in a catabolic state because you can't eat for recovery and growth. That's why you need to get Lit Up from Applied Nutraceuticals. Lit Up is an original blend, not a copycat formula here. Lit Up delivers the perfect amount of energy, focus, pump, and intensity without feeling strung out or a loss of appetite for hours after your workout. Plus, Lit Up creates an anabolic environment by jacking testosterone levels through the roof. Get Lit Up today at appnut.com. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at ironmaglabs.com. ironmagdmz.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to ironmaglabs.com today.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
It was summertime in Northern Michigan. Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We did a show the other day on IGF-1, Long R3, and Meccano Growth Factors. If you are looking for these two peptides, you can get them at opresource.net. opresource.net offers Superhuman Radio listeners an additional 25% off GHRP6 and the like when you use the coupon code SUPERHUMAN25, SUPERHUMAN25. Check it out. And if you haven't heard that show, you want to listen, because IGF-1, Long R3, and Meccano Growth Factors may be the best muscle-building compound that will not impede your endocrine system like hormones do. My guest this hour, Dr. Matt Andrey. We're talking about the suprachiasmatic nuclei. Dr. Andrey, what would you say to this statement? If you are trying to lose weight and you can't, and you are not paying attention to the things that impede circadian rhythm and the SCN, you will never lose the weight you want to lose until you make friends with your SCN.
I get so tired of you saying exactly what I say to people, and I've never talked to you about it.
We must be tapped into the same thing. That's what it
is. You got it, man. Well, I think we really are, and I think there's, you know, it's an interesting thing. 3 people designed the periodic table of elements at exactly the same time, you know, and we give one person the credit for it, but the point to that is that a lot of these understandings, a lot of wisdom, kind of does come to sort of if there's a collective cloud.
Yeah, collective consciousness. I believe in that.
Yeah. And that it starts occurring to people more. And if you can just, you know, not marry ideas, you know, be willing to change them in the face of information, because far more important than you believe what you see is you see what you believe.
Right.
And if you believe that, no, people should work nights all the time because, I'm too scared to think about what would happen if we're not supposed to, that's the kind of thinking that makes, I guarantee you, some that you will start hearing things about, these studies that say sleep's not sleeping at night's bad for you, they're bunk, and this is why. And the only motivation someone could possibly have to say that is that they're afraid. Afraid of something, afraid of what might happen to society, afraid it's going to cost them money, afraid, well, what am I going to do if I can't work nights? That's the only job I could get. That's not the point. The point is to be honest, face and understand what you're doing. If you make the choice to work nights, well, then try to lessen the effect as much as you can. Try to shift those hours a little bit. Swing them if you can. That's all we're saying. But the flat truth of the matter is, I don't care if you live 100 years and 70 of it you work at night, you will never change what your brain desires to have as far as sunlight.
I want to take that statement back for a second. You will never live 100 years if you don't sleep at night.
Darn right.
I mean, we know that people who don't sleep well age faster. We know that people who work night shifts get certain types of cancers 10 to 15 times more often than the general population. We know that people who don't sleep at night develop diabetes, high blood pressure. I have a friend of mine, an ex-power lifter. I just started running into him to the gym recently, my friend Nikki. And I said, Nikki, I haven't seen you. What's going on? He hasn't competed since 2006. He goes, I'm not doing too well. I got diabetes. I said, when did you find that you had diabetes? He's younger than me. He's probably in his 30s. He goes, they told me, 2 weeks ago, my doctor told me I'm diabetic.
I said, really? He goes, yeah. He goes, I don't know. He goes, I've been working nights for the past year. I was like, Nikki, that's it.
Yep.
That's it.
That's right. You know, we're actually trying to start here at our local hospital. I'm working with the Diabetic Education Center at Bloomington Hospital to develop a program for prevention for people who are going to work night shifts to help them deal with the fact that they're going to run into insulin resistance.
What could be done? What could be done, Dr. Andre? I mean,
one is, again, you can attenuate or worsen this depending on how you treat what your body responds. You'll either worsen the spiral or you can slow it down. Again, there's no way around the basic tenet that you should be up in the day and down at night. But if we can have people working shifts that are like from 3 p.m. to 2 a.m. or 1 a.m., and then have the night people do it, but only for a couple days. And you've seen places kind of start to switch.
Yeah.
To that. It makes the rest of your life terrible. But you can't do it for a consistent time and not pay for it in spades.
Yeah, I you know what? You're right. That's a good idea to swing it. So you work nights maybe 2 days a week. Somebody else
right.
works. But you know what? I want to take it a step further. You know what? There is a renaissance coming in this country. I really believe this because just like you talked about the collective consciousness, there's a collective consciousness of people. We know that we're being fed lies about the food that we're eating. People,
yep.
We just did a show about that just the previous hour. And we know that it's not healthy to be working these late shifts. It's not natural. I say we need to start pushing back to employers. We need to say
yes.
to employers, look, if you need 100 employees per day to produce to hit production, don't split it up over three shifts. Split it up over two shifts.
They don't do that in other countries near as much as we do.
Oh, forget about it. In other countries.
Try to go to the grocery store after 10 p.m.
Yeah.
Most places in the world.
One of the most amazing things that I found when I started traveling to Europe was in August, whole factories, whole companies shut down for 2 to 3 weeks at a time so that the employees could all go on vacation at the same time. There was none of this, hey, well, wait, we just landed this big contract. We need you guys to work. Forget about your vacation. No, the Europeans go, hey, you know what? We're off.
It's about living, man.
We're supposed to be the greatest country in the world, but yet we treat our people like garbage.
Yeah, we really do. And you said it before the break in our last section, you know, taking the dollar in value over your own health. That's if people know consciously, I mean, it doesn't even make sense that they would say that, but they don't know that's what they're doing, but they're doing it. And that's why your show is so great. You're coming on here and you're saying things that are pointing in the right direction. You know, there's a lot of, nobody's got all the truth, but you can point to it. You can point at it and you're going that direction, but, these are not popular ideas with a lot of people, in a status quo.
Well, like you said, what does the poor guy do who has a night job? So he goes in at, you know, midnight, works to 8 a.m. or 10 and work, whatever. And he's got a family. You know, he's got a house payment. He's got a car payment. He's basically, I say this today, slavery is alive and well in the United States. It's just not African Americans anymore. It's all people. We have become enslaved to the work schedule, to the rat on a wheel.
Yep.
Schedule of gotta have it, you know, and think about it. It's in the government's best interest that we are consumers, that
yes.
we consume, that we keep buying new cars and new, because what does it do? It keeps us in debt to the company store.
It's one of my favorite ancient wisdoms too. The Romans said slaves are made in an oven, and they had to fight the Punic Wars over and over again, and it almost raided their entire treasuries. They couldn't beat them. So what they do? Sow their fields in salt and feed them. Once you fed them, you had them.
Right.
They were gone in two generations
wow.
as a culture. And that's what they're trying to do to us because people in control want to maintain it and they get afraid of things that challenge it. I'm exactly the opposite. I hope to goodness I'm doing something really different next year. Otherwise, I didn't learn much this year.
Yeah, that's a good point. That really is a good point.
But you're right. I mean, taking this, not questioning things. Is a thing that's time has come to go.
How does bromocryptine work? I know bromocryptine reduces prolactin, but is there another pathway that it works in to reestablish Is it reestablishing circadian rhythm? Is it resetting the suprachiasmatic nuclei? What is it doing?
Yeah. Well, bromocriptine, the way that it helps in diabetes and glucose control isn't really related to its prolactin activity.
I didn't think so.
Bromocriptine mimics and basically increases dopamine activity. There's my favorite guy, dopamine.
Yeah, I like
that. And the suprachiasmatic nucleus. And this changes the insulin sensitivity by output from the ventromedial hypothalamus. And this changes, again, the way your cells uptake glucose, how much glucose your liver makes in gluconeogenesis, how your cells, your muscle cells uptake it, how much insulin is released, triglycerides, fatty acids, all those things are changed, basically to allow you to go into a mini hibernation, just like on a small scale compared to what a bear is going to do in the wintertime. And that momentum, that oscillation, is what allows you to be adaptable in the environment. And so the bromocriptine in there, and the interesting thing is, if you take this medication, it only works if you take it in the morning. If people take it in the afternoon, the late evening, it does absolutely nothing.
So obviously there's an interplay with the onset of what's known as the locomotion period, which is the onset of activity. Our bodies in the locomotion period, light bathes the retina.
Photoreceptors,
The retina produces GABA to tell the pineal gland no more melatonin is needed, and this becomes the locomotive period when the adrenals kick in and say, cortisol come up, adrenal hormones come up, we're going to have to get up and start moving around. So obviously, there is a timing factor here that if you don't have the increase in dopamine at that moment, the reset doesn't happen.
That's right. And in fact, that you just mentioned is probably one of the reasons that alcohol does put some people to sleep and some people it gives them insomnia because it's a GABA agonist. And so you shut down your melatonin. So I know that.
See, in alcohol, I don't sleep as well.
Me either.
If I have one glass of wine with dinner, and I'm
if
talking
I have
about
one and a half or two, I'm hosed.
Right. No. If I have one glass, and I'm talking about a 2 or 3 ounce glass of wine with dinner, so I can enjoy the flavor of wine, it doesn't affect me. If I have 2 or 3 glasses of wine with dinner, I don't sleep well at night.
Yep. And that's probably one of the mechanisms why. So again, the nerves depend on this oscillation, this movement. And if you provide an impetus, you're basically mimicking what sunlight should be doing for you. But sometimes, if you've done it so long, dysfunctionally, that it's not enough to just start doing it right. You need a little help. Or rather to say, a little help makes it happen quicker. And so this medication has been changing, entire people's paradigms about how to treat diabetes almost overnight.
How,
in fact, there are tons of endocrinologists going, I don't understand how it works, so it must not.
Yeah, right. Isn't that interesting that some doctors can prescribe things and say to their patients, we're not sure how this works, but prescribe it anyway. But this one, they're going to say, it must not work because I don't understand it. That I find that interesting.
I tell you what, in a sense, I feel like that's what I have to do all the time because whatever I think I understand about it, there's a deeper way to understand a mechanism of action. So in essence, we all and you, we're empiricists. We know that this is what happens. These are results we often get. But the point is you can't apply population data to an individual person. You have to reassess yourself, how something makes you feel, how it changes your life, how it makes things work better or worse. And you're the one in charge, not your doc.
Wow. You know what? This plays into the show that we just did. Calling all research studies into question. Is research even reliable? We just talked about that the other day. And it comes back down to you have to apply critical thinking to everything. You can't just read a study and go, well, that must be the way it is. Let's take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we'll pick it up with Dr. Matt Andree. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter Urethane Series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at orbitnutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit orbitnutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. orbitnutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at orbitnutrition.com.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MahLer.com. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
She's a very kinky girl.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay, so Dr. Andre, how long does it take for utilizing bromocriptine with the proper timing to start to reverse insulin resistance?
Almost instantly.
Really?
Everything is made to run on that. So if you use the cycles and the timing and the mechanisms that are already in place, they do what they're supposed to do right away. It's this thing is going to revolutionize. You'll hear it everywhere. This little bitty company, Santaris, they've got lightning in a bottle. They're worried to pieces they're going to get swallowed up by Merck or Pfizer or someone.
They are. They're going. Yeah. You know they're going to. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this. Bromocriptine. I mean, doctors can prescribe certain drugs for off-label purposes without really being challenged. Can I walk in if I'm a type 2 diabetic, I'm becoming insulin resistant. Let's say I'm even pre-diabetic. I go to my doctor. I say, I read this study about bromocriptine and the suprachiasmatic nuclei. Write me a prescription. I think bromocriptine is taken in very small doses. Isn't it like 20 milligrams?
Well, that's the thing. The cyclosat dosing is 0.8 milligrams.
Yeah, see, I know it's taken in small doses. Yeah.
And regular bromocriptine may not work as well. This is a very immediate release. It's designed to get into your system quickly. And it's been very hard to replicate with other forms that are not designed the same in terms of the effect. Because what you would like is an almost instantaneous hit the floor, and boom, the dopamine hits your SCN.
Well, let me ask you a question. Would any fast-acting dopaminergic supplement or drug do the same thing?
That may be part of why Adipex works for people to lose body fat. It may be why people on Adderall see changes in their appetite partially. It may be why smoking causes people to lose weight.
Right.
Or prevents them from gaining.
I mean, I'm not suggesting people. I mean, people can
go out and get
a variety of Macuna, which is an over-the-counter supplement, but I don't think that releases very quickly.
And you know what else you can do? Sleep.
Because that's when your body reproduces its stores of dopamine.
Yes, that's right. You know, I had a fascinating thing happen this year. We were totally talking about it and didn't know it. I had a patient who came in to see me. She wanted to lose some weight. Her blood sugar was really starting to climb. And, man, we got her turned around. In 3 months, she had lost 45 pounds. We had used Victoza, which is a very cool medicine that helps increase levels of GLP-1. So your stomach stays full longer.
Right.
You release less insulin as needed over time, and so you don't store fat as much. She was just doing marvelous. Her work called her and said, hey, we had some people get out. We got to move you to night shift. And she came in tears. She was terrified because she knows. She goes, if I have to go back to nights again, I'm going to blow up like a balloon. And all this improvement I've brought, I'm going to lose it. So I wrote a letter to the company, and I said, hey, I don't know if it's a good idea to switch this lady to nights. And usually one or two things happens. Either the company could care less, and then they just wad it up, or they just roll over and say, oh, if a doc said it, we're not going to get sued, and they do it. Well, her boss called me. I was shocked, and we talked for like an hour. And it kind of changed his thinking about a lot of people.
See, I was just going to say that. I was actually, one of my questions was going to be, if you as an employee go to your boss and say, look at all this research. It shows that working nights causes diabetes. Forget about your healthcare costs. I'm talking about my life now. I don't want to work nights. Find me another position.
Right. Well, and if we can go to the CEOs of these companies or the chief financial officers, and we can say, okay, look, you know very well that an overweight employee costs you 6 times what a normal weight employee does over their tenure. If you can do this, you're going to save healthcare dollars like you can't believe later.
Yeah.
That's how you change it.
But you know what? But you know what my frustration is, Matt? Why does it have to come down to dollars? Why can't you say, don't you care about your employees? Why not go to these, you know, you have these reality TV shows where the CEO of a multi-billion-dollar company gets down in the trenches and shovels horse poop with the employee so he can see what it feels like to be an employee. But he doesn't know what it feels like to be an employee because he goes back to his $15 million home at the end of the night.
There's
and his employee.
Real.
Yeah. But you know what? Let's talk about the largest companies in the world. And I know UPS and FedEx will never do this because they'll lose their economic edge if they didn't work day and night constantly.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's lots of companies that don't have to run a night shift. They could expand their facility and run 2 afternoon shifts and get the work done.
This is not about black and white. This is not about good and bad. This is about taking wherever you are, being honest about it, knowing what you can, and going in the right direction. I'm not saying you should never work a night. If you're a new mom, you're gonna.
Yeah, you got no choice.
You know, and the brilliant thing about the way our bodies are designed is that we can handle some really big changes in our environment for short periods of time. But that's the key. The mechanisms you have to put up with an environment different than your design, and your evolutionary development, is limited. You don't have enough gas in the tank to run without any forever.
Right.
You gotta change it up.
Yeah, I agree. So bromocriptine can potentially reverse insulin resistance overnight, and I believe this because we know that insulin resistance can occur in as little as 48 hours of not getting good sleep.
Yeah.
There was a study done, and I talk about it periodically on this show when making this reference, with Olympic-level athletes who were sleep-deprived, forced to sleep 4 hours or less a night, and by the second day, they had the same challenges managing glucose that 70-year-old adults do in 2 days. And we also know, like I said at the beginning of the show, that the suprachiasmatic nuclei fine-tunes receptors. So what it basically happens is, in as little as 1 day, those receptors go, I'm reset to where I belong. Now I know what to do.
Right. It's, what I try to do in my practice is I try to understand as much as I can about the way the body works. I work with people and find ways that the way they're living or the circumstances that they're under or their genetic makeup is a little different than that, and try to just reapproximate what we understand about what works. And it's amazing the things that get better that you didn't even know were wrong.
Right. So bottom line, bromo, this product is called Cyclocept.
Cyclocept, CYCLOSET.
I love that. It resets the cycle. Cyclocept.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And yep. and it is available now by prescription, yes or no?
It's available by prescription. And don't worry if you talk to your doc and they don't understand it, because this is a, I mean, this is a as different as night and day. That's a good point too, I guess. as a way to work on diabetes, they're going to think that they're giving you an antidepressant or Adderall to treat your diabetes. And people do lose weight, as you figure they might, but the company will never tout that. They will never advertise that, because if you go do that, then the FDA wants your head.
Yeah, because you're losing weight not because of the intrinsic effects of the drug, but instead the extrinsic effects of resetting your circadian rhythm and insulin sensitivity.
It is not always diet and exercise.
Right.
If it's diet and exercise, it's because of what it does to your hormones.
Now, is it possible that someone has a dysfunctional SCN, but has not been working night shifts their entire life, or even for months, or even at all?
Oh, gracious, yes. Yeah, and that's probably one of the mechanisms by which, as we get older, that things start to deteriorate. Because if you've got poor blood flow to the small blood vessels in your brain, then the SCN, because it's not very big, it's only 20,000 neurons or so in there, that you lose them. And if you lose enough of them, then you can't over, you know, you can't be the bass drum that keeps the beat going for the band. So that's one mechanism, strokes, small brain tumors, like I said, and then just chronic inflammation, chronic, oxidation of tissues, all does it. That's all aging.
Yeah. So if you are one of these people who you are sleeping at night and you are closing your eyes for 8 hours a night, this doesn't mean that you're really getting good sleep, but, and you are borderline insulin resistant, or you are full blown insulin resistant, you're having difficulty losing weight, you may want to go to your doctor and talk to him about Cyclocet. Just,
yes.
You know, as, you know, you could, would a doctor be opposed to trying a 30 day run of Cyclocet if somebody said, look, I can't lose this fat. I am, you doc, you told me that I'm going to be diabetic pretty soon. I'm pre-diabetic now. I'm sleeping at night, but something else is awry. Can we try this? Would a doctor say, no, absolutely not. You don't meet the requirements. You're sleeping.
Yeah. You know what? Some probably will. I'll have to say, I don't know what in the world I would do if I haven't had patients come in and do that, because that's how I've learned. I'm sort of here for them, not the reverse. But if you get an answer, no, just don't quit.
Right.
You'll find someone. You go to an endocrinologist and you say, I've read this research. For one thing, one of two things will happen. They'll either know about it and say, that's a great idea, or they won't, and they'll go, gosh, I better read about that, which will help all of us.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really good. That's good stuff. We have to take our last commercial break, Matt. When we come back, I want to talk to you about something a little different now.
Mm-hmm.
Just today, there was a story about raw milk in Texas. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I haven't heard it.
Okay, you're going to love this. Stay tuned. We're talking with Dr. Matt Andre. We'll be right back.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and TestCharge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only TestCharge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in TestCharge. TestCharge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in TestCharge. TestCharge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
Finally, a Bovine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bovine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM Bovine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total
total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit RLSSupplements.com today.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein and the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Race. Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking this hour with Dr. Matt Andree. We're talking about the superchiasmatic nuclei. We're going to shift gears a little bit because Dr. Andree is also a profound believer in the magic of raw unpasteurized milk. In fact, his dad has a raw milk farm, correct?
Which we only use for animal products and never would... dispense
to people
publicly in
Indiana. Oh, of course not. It's just for dogs and cats, of course. No,
exactly.
I know that. And so I guess some people in Texas foolishly drank some raw milk and got sick.
Yeah, I was just reading that as you mentioned it.
Three people. It's just three people. And here's the interesting thing, Dr. Andree. And I need you to answer this question because you're a doctor, and I really don't have a lot of common sense when it comes to medicine, so I'm hoping that you can shed this light. According to Ms. Childs, I hope I'm pronouncing her name right, 57-year-old resident of Dallas who said that she's still weak after surviving the life-threatening salmonella infection she contracted while drinking raw milk. She drank this raw milk several weeks ago, I guess.
Yeah, 2 months.
Oh, 2 months. So did it? Are you understanding that article to mean that
no.
It took her 2 months to get sick?
Yeah, that's pretty odd for salmonella. That's pretty odd. It may be saying that she's still weak 2 months after she had her case of salmonella, which it can take a while to recover because you can get pretty dehydrated. What I wonder is where are the news stories that are talking about the 10 million people who are getting diabetes because they drank pasteurized milk?
Thank you. Forget about diabetes. Forget about that entirely.
Lupus.
This guy, Zachary Thompson, said, we're going to go to the CDC and recommend that individuals not partake in this raw milk. You know what? What about the tens of thousands of people that get sick every day from quote-unquote properly managed and handled food products? They get salmonella. They get all sorts of bacterial diseases. You know, this is an isolated three people.
Yeah.
I remember
and it's all over the internet all of a sudden.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
It's just shocking to me. I remember as a young man going to St. Paddy's Day lunch at a place on Queens Boulevard in New York called Mickey's and having corned beef and cabbage with my family, and I got food poisoning and they didn't. I saw no news reporters knocking at my door suggesting that corned beef and cabbage in public restaurants be abandoned as a food. Because I was just one person. Who knows if it was really even the corned beef and cabbage that made me sick?
I don't see much on here that tells me it was the milk that did it.
Right.
And if they are, where are the rest of the people? Because you don't just get one batch of milk from one teat and it's not anywhere else. if the milk's ever pooled, it's going to be in all of them.
Four people, of which three were children. What three children? It doesn't even speak to the children here. They just focus on this one elderly woman.
Oh, they got someone to say she'll never drink raw milk again. Which,
good. More for us. You know, now, exactly. That's not to say – now, I got to say something. I'm not suggesting that this woman didn't get sick from the raw milk because, let's face it, raw milk producers, just like commercial milk producers, you know, you got to know who your farmer is. You got to make sure that they're doing things properly, clean. You know, they're handling the milk that they recycle. They don't recycle their milk. They throw it away at a certain point in time because a lot of times they'll have a vat of milk. They'll put fresh milk in that gets tainted by the older milk. So every so often they have to remove all the milk and start from scratch.
Bleach out stuff, yes.
There you go.
What I don't understand is 2 months and they haven't found whether it's in there or not.
Why don't they just go test the batch of milk?
They had to have. And if they did and didn't find it, then where's that article? And if they did find it, well, it should be in this one.
Sweet.
So
and you know what?
I don't know. Something stinks.
And compare that to the millions of glasses every year, literally millions and millions of glasses every year, that people drink of raw unpasteurized milk that don't get sick at all.
Right.
Right. It just,
and live healthier.
Yeah. The CDC has better things to do than to chase farmers who produce raw milk and the people who love to drink it. You know, next thing, here's what I say. If they don't leave raw milk alone, then I want the CDC to step up and tell people they cannot no longer eat sushi because it's raw. And they can no longer order steaks rare at Ruth Chris's, which is my favorite. And they can't take in any, quote-unquote, reckless eating behavior.
Exactly.
Now, unless they're willing to do that, leave raw milk alone.
Yeah. And then while you're at it, go to Monsanto and tell them we don't want GMO anymore.
Oh, too late for that. Monsanto owns every politician in the world today.
Yeah.
It's too
very
late.
Frustrating. You know, a lot of cultures call raw milk white blood because that's really what it is. And you know, people say, "Well, we're the only animal who didn't drink another animal's who drinks another animal's milk." That's not true. For one, two, we developed with animal herds for millions of years. We didn't start farming until about 10,000 years ago.
Right.
So you're much more in tune with your own Paleolithic history, drinking raw milk and eating animals than you are planting your garden.
Right.
No. Yeah, it's frustrating. And it's okay because these are the type of things that bring up just the questions that should come up. There's nothing in here about them not talking about the bill anymore. It's still an ongoing debate.
Right.
So it'll be wonderful. This is an opportunity. This is an opportunity for people to stand up and
say,
call
I
and talk
drink,
to people
yeah.
say, don't you dare make it illegal for me to drink raw milk
right.
or impossible to get because three people got sick and it hit the internet.
And interestingly enough, the milk is supposedly being tested now, but the jury is still out whether or not the raw milk was the carrier of the salmonella.
Maybe the kids handled a turtle.
Who knows? Or maybe Miss Childs didn't wash her hands after she went potty.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look, you know, why is it always raw milk when somebody gets sick if that's one of the things that they had in the past couple days? Why is it always raw milk?
Because you see what you believe, yeah. And there's a belief out there that it's dangerous.
Which leads
period.
Me to a question that a listener had, and I think you said he even contacted you. There's another type of cow out there. I want to say it starts with an H, a Heiser?
There's the Devon, the milking Devon. He asked about that, the Asher.
The Ayrshire, right.
Yeah,
Asher.
And the milking Shorthorn.
Okay, so are those because we did the whole Beta 1, Beta 2
casein
show. What about those two cow breeds?
Yeah, those are they have a fair amount of A2 genetics. Those are all types of cows that are red. They're not the black and white Holstein. Those are the ones that are really going to have almost no A2 in them ever. Guernseys are going to have the most. Brown Swiss are typically the next, and then a kind of a third rung. And again, I think if I had to choose between raw Holstein milk and cooked A2 milk, I'd probably go with the raw because, especially if they're grass-fed, you keep the grains out of my system, and the antibodies intact, that's going to be great. But the best you can get is raw, grass-fed from non-Holstein cattle.
There you go. So that's the best. Okay, so what else is new, Dr. Andrew? How's your radio show doing?
Our radio show is going great. You know, we're a relatively small community here, but we've had some just great guests on. We're going to have another great one on this week, which will air next week. We're going to be talking about, interestingly, some of the same stuff about sleep and fibromyalgia, and about how it, you know, and we're finally coming around to understanding that some of the mechanisms of sleep really drive it, and that fibromyalgia really is a real deal. It's not this garbage can diagnosis, and it's just, you know, bored housewives like a lot of people in my profession still believe.
But needless to say that individuals who suffer from fibromyalgia tend to have some similarities in lifestyle and diet. Would you agree to that?
I would say even more than that. They tend to have real similarities in how they're brought up and attitude. Most people with fibromyalgia are real good at taking care of everyone around them and lousy at taking care of themselves.
Well, then I should have fibromyalgia too, then, I guess. Maybe I'll add that to the list of symptoms that I have now.
It could be. No, it's another mechanism by which the same idea, sleep. Sleep is so key. I'm going back now over my patients that we've struggled with to get their weight down, and I've identified about a dozen already that it's their sleep. That's the target.
Yeah, and that's exciting right. Stuff. And we bang that drum here so often, sleep hygiene, things that you could do to achieve better sleep.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of, and we're going to end the show here in a moment, but I have a good friend who lives in South Africa now, who manufactures a product called the Earth Pulse Unit. It's a pulse electromagnetic field device that emulates the waveform, the electromagnetic pulse of the Earth, 9.6 hertz.
Oh boy.
You ever notice when you go hunting and you sleep in a sleeping bag on the ground, even though you're sleeping on the hard ground, you wake up in the morning feeling so refreshed?
Yes.
Okay. Well,
it's your delta sleep, sleep cycle.
I sleep with one of these units every night now, and I have to tell you, it's corrected my sleep to a great deal. But it's a unit called an Earth Pulse Unit. I'm going to put you in touch with him because I think you should get one and experiment with some of your patients with it.
Absolutely. That's a great idea. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, we got to have you down on our show again, and we'll set that up. But I love the work you do here, Carl. It's remarkable. Again, I don't care what field you're from. If you're in medicine, if you're working a line somewhere, just being willing to honestly ask questions and keep learning is what it takes.
Yeah, there you go. Listen, Dr. Andrew, thanks so much for being on Superhuman Radio today.
Thank you very much, Carl.
Hi, and no, tomorrow is Friday, so we will have another special episode of Casual Friday tomorrow when we'll be answering all listener questions. We have some more super fan sightings, gifts to be given away tomorrow, so you're not going to miss that. Thanks for listening today. Also, thanks to Pam Colleen during the first hour talking about sugar toxicity, and we'll see you tomorrow.